When we talk about living a rich life, we are talking about making financial decisions, having our clients be comfortable, knowing what decisions they're making are aligning with their values, right? Because the things that are most important to them, it has to speak to them.
Hear how this breakaway firm used DPL's tools and technology to make the transition to independence. You're listening to Advisor Revelations.
Welcome to the Advisor Revelations podcast. I am Amy Arnett, Vice President of Insurance Solutions at DPL Financial Partners. Today, we are going to discuss asset and income protection. First, I'd like to introduce our guest, who is the Director of Financial Planning at Your Financial Pharmacist, Angel Melgoza. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Before we start our discussion today, I want to remind our listeners to please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite streaming app for updates. If anything we talk about today interests you, be sure to connect with a DPL consultant on our website at dplfp.com. All right. So Angel, so that our listeners have a better understanding of the type of firm you're with and your experience, if you can just share a little more about yourself and what you do at Your Financial Pharmacist.
Sure. So I took a very traditional route to where I'm at in my career. You know, I went to school here in Texas, got my degree in finance. That's my bachelor's. Now, I didn't know that financial planning was a thing until my last semester. So I accidentally walked into a recruiting event for Texas Tech University, which is arguably the number one financial planning school in the nation. Graduated in 2011. And the traditional route I took was I was a paraprofessional. And I worked my way all the way up to becoming a firm owner. But in December of 22, after 2 years of being pursued by my two bosses, Tim Ulrich and Tim Baker, I decided to hang it up and just join the YFP team. The main driver, of course, I'm a family man. I'm married, about 9 years going on 10, a six-year-old little girl who's my world, right? And you know, that's kind of where I came to be here at YFP, just what I do at YFP. So you're a financial pharmacist, right? It's dedicated to supporting pharmacists to live their rich life. Right. But don't be fooled by the name. We also service non-pharmacist clients as well. And when we talk about living a rich life, we are talking about making financial decisions, having our clients be comfortable, knowing what decisions they're making are aligning with their values, right? Because the things that are most important to them, it has to speak to them. So as director of financial planning, I have to make sure that the product that we deliver, the deliverables, whether the advice, whether it's just good simplification of complex things like disability, like get to our clients' ears in a good, simple, elegant way.
Well, nice. Well, I can tell just by the tone of your voice and from what we've done together so far, you all have definitely put together that holistic plan and you have real empathy for your clients and their situation. So, you know, that's much appreciated because sometimes that's hard to find in today's world. So, good to learn a little bit more about your background, though. I did not know about that, how you got started.
Yeah, thank you.
So just so that everyone has a good understanding about what we're going to talk about today, I always talk about asset and income protection. In reality, you know, it's disability income insurance,
yes,
but it is truly protecting assets and income. And as you know, and a lot of our listeners know, income, the ability to earn income is your most valuable asset. When you're doing that financial plan, if you're not considering that for your clients that are still in their income earning years, that disability is a big player. You know, one of the big things that could happen in the event that someone does become disabled is where are they going to go for those funds, right? We're probably going to hit that retirement plan, don't you think?
For sure. That seems to be the case sometimes.
Yeah. And it could be detrimental to their whole retirement plan. So it's a really important item to be able to include in this discussion, make your recommendation. Ultimately, it's up to the client to act and enforce and put in place that type of coverage. But at least you're including that in your presentation and making an important part of that retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
So in saying all that, I could get on a soapbox about disability, but what do you see, Angel, as the ideal client for disability income insurance coverage?
Oh, wow. A little bit of a loaded question, but truly, I do have some parameters when I look at disability income coverage for a client. truly anyone that's young, anyone that has more than 10 plus years left in their career, for anyone nearing retirement, it's truly a matter of looking at what they've saved up for retirement and considering what liabilities they still have left to pay. Because sometimes there are clients that are older, on the older side, 50, even 60 years old, that are extending their careers. I mean, we're living longer and working longer. You know, I've had clients well into their 60s still running their businesses, but because they're business owners, they, of course, have a lot of liabilities, business liabilities, and their income, of course, is paying for that. So it really depends, but just generally speaking, anyone young and still has 10 plus years left in their career.
Yeah, and I will say that I have come across individuals that are in their late 50s that still actually implement disability income, even though, you know, it is typically for a shorter period of time. And those individuals that might have disability income in place, most contracts are guaranteed renewable or conditionally renewable once you reach age 65. So if they're still working, they can continue to renew the coverage as long as they show proof of income. You made another valuable point with business owners. You know, not only do they need to replace lost income, but there's also coverage that helps protect the business. In the event that owner is not there to generate revenue, that business overhead expense for disability can come in and replace and cover those fixed expenses, you know, keep the company in the black rather than in the red and prepare it for a sale if necessary. So, you know, that's an area that I think doesn't have as much focus when it comes to disability. It's more about income replacement, but business overhead expense, when it's a small practice, you know, you don't have someone else that's going to be able to pick up the pieces while you're out, you know, it's an ideal conversation to have as well. Mm-hmm. When you do a discovery, what factors do you consider when determining a disability need?
A couple of factors, right, that I take into consideration. The first one is, does the client currently have coverage with their employer? Second, what does that look like? You know, very typical employer policy. It doesn't include a cost of living adjustment. These group long-term disability policies are very basic, of course, to keep costs down for the employer. That's a big thing because inflation is real. So if you are employed and have a long-term disability policy with an employer, there's probably very likely going to be some gaps. The other thing, what does lifestyle look like? Are your expenses low? Are your expenses high? We also look at, you know, what do you currently have saved in retirement or investment accounts? We use sophisticated financial planning software to project into the future. What does your current disability policy look like? How does it pay out? How does that work with disability benefits with Social Security? What do you currently have saved? So it's a couple of factors. And I mean, another factor that we've been running into is, are you married to a high income earner? Because if you are, right, then likely a disability event won't affect you as nearly as bad as if you weren't, right? And that's, or are you the primary breadwinner? That's another question that we ask.
Is there typically, do you find an income guideline? You know, like if you make X amount of dollars, if you make $50,000 or more or less, is there a point in time where disability really isn't something for consideration?
We have our golden rule of thumb. We always want to have our clients have about 60% of their gross income covered. And in our projection software, there's times where they don't need the 60% because they're married to a high income earner. A few times they say, hey, don't pursue a long-term disability policy because we don't know what we don't know about life. We don't know their personal married life. And if they get divorced, then our recommendation is obviously going to change. So we'd rather err on the side of caution and just say, you'll need it, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Once you've made that discovery, you know, you've done your analysis, how do you present the idea of disability income coverage to your clients?
We have a dedicated meeting towards insurance planning and risk management at our firm. It's part of our foundational process. We present it as, just as you alluded to earlier on, that it's protection for the biggest asset that you currently have. Because when you're younger, you don't have these high investment accounts unless you, you know, have a large inheritance. But your highest asset is your income, right? 10 plus years, that's a lot of earnings.
Do you find the clients that you talk with aren't familiar with what disability income insurance is?
Generally speaking, they understand disability in terms of what it's for, but the details, the wrinkles behind the policies, like the cost of living adjustment riders, right? The future increase riders that are there, they don't understand the wrinkles, whether It's in any occupation or own occupation policy. So they have a good understanding of what it's meant for, just not the wrinkles behind the policies.
I have found that in the years that I've talked about disability, a lot of clients don't realize that, I mean, you get the, you know, status that disability is in the event that you have an accident. But, you know, the leading cause of disability is actually health concerns. Cancer is a big player. Of course, back is always, you know, your back is the core of your system. And if something goes wrong in your back, you know, there's a lot you can't do. And even when you have individuals that say, I sit at a desk all day long, There's no reason why I can't work. Well, yeah, but sometimes you can't sit that long. Or sometimes you're having to take medication that you can really only focus a couple of hours a day.
Right.
So, you know, I have found that going into a little bit more detail about the events that could trigger a disability will surprise individuals sometimes.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, we've had clients in their 40s that they suffer a stroke, Right? Health concerns, and it's going to take a little bit longer than a year to rehabilitate.
Right.
And there goes your earnings. So.
Yeah. And a stroke doesn't discriminate. Actually, there's not a health condition that does discriminate. It's just when you're young, you know, you're invincible. You have that Superman cape on and nothing's going to knock you down. So it is a little earth shattering when you hear a story about a young individual suffering a cognitive or a chronic condition that affects their ability to work.
A lot of the clients that we talk to about disability, they think car accident, I'm a great driver, or something of that nature where this statistically it may not happen to me. And they don't often think about the health concerns of lifestyle.
Yeah. And I know we're kind of a little off topic, but just a story that I have with an individual who was a bicyclist, healthy, great shape, young, and they were hit by a vehicle on their bicycle and really caused a whole lot of problems. So when you have those individuals that are young and healthy, they're typically very active, and you can always use that activity as something that could cause an accident to happen, not that necessarily them driving a vehicle and running into a tree or something of that nature. So I guess as we get older, we get wiser. We just have to wisen up our younger clients, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're not getting old. We're getting wise.
I'd much rather look at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So when you look to identify your clients, how do you determine, or do you help determine where the premium is going to come from to help pay for that coverage?
Right. And so our firm practices modular planning initially, where we take a look at things, of course, like insurance. One of our meetings that we have foundationally with new clients is cash flow management. And so we have a dedicated meeting to go over cash flow, identify a surplus that can potentially pay for said coverage. And I'll admit, sometimes our clients, either they get some cold feet because they're younger, they have other things on their mind rather than protecting their income, which of course you shouldn't, and they put it on the back burner, right? But at the end of the day, for us, you can lead a horse to water. That's really the way we look at it.
Right. And is it something, you know, when you're doing that discovery on where they'll find funds to pay for coverage, do you do an annual review and just confirm that this is still fits within your budget, just reassuring and reminding them why they did it, what it is that they did?
Yeah, absolutely. So we keep track of all of the recommendations that we make, and we have a checklist of, has this been done? Has this not been done? What are your obstacles? And that is covered during our annual review. We meet with our clients twice a year for an annual review and a semi-annual review. The semi-annual review is typically, how are we progressing towards implementing the things that we've recommended? Has anything new popped up? Any life changes like marriage, kids, things like that?
Okay. Well, that's excellent. As a financial advisor and an investment planner, I feel confident, especially with our conversations, but most have consistent reviews. You know, my history goes a ways back prior to working with dedicated financial advisors. I would work with just insurance agents, and I found a lot of times that those annual reviews didn't happen. So, you know, a lot of the implementing and options put together, they don't remember why they did it. So it's great that you have that semi-annual review rather than even just once a year, just to make sure they're on track. And because life happens and things change. So that's great that you guys do that.
Part of the position as director is making sure, of course, that operationally speaking, our clients at least get an annual touch, at least.
Yeah, right, right. Well, that's good. That's great. So when you're doing that analysis for the client, do you run that as if they didn't have disability and what happens if they do have disability to see the potential impact between being insured and not insured?
I mean, so during our analysis, we take the approach of running a disability event as if the client became disabled the day after tomorrow, right? Because tomorrow's never promised, as they say.
Right.
And we use that planning software to project all these different moving parts from expenses, the future goals that they've given us that's important to them, their current coverage. So, and that's very important because our planning software, we can program their current coverage and whether it has some riders or doesn't have some riders. So we can let them know what the deficiencies are in that sense. So there are times where we visit the wrinkle of, well, if my policy is a policy that pays me only if I can't perform any occupations and I'd rather have a stricter definition, we sometimes pretend it doesn't exist so that we can see, okay, how much coverage do you actually need to get to that 60% gross income sweet spot that we're looking for? So we perform this analysis with all the current coverages and we recommend coverage to how cash flow is impacted. Our plan software will give us projected cash flow. Are you running into deficits? Where are you pulling money from? So very comprehensive.
Yeah. You know, I think that's great because, again, in my pre-DPL days, and even still currently, you know, we'll get requests for disability income and, hey, just run me the max they're eligible for. Well, you know, that's not necessarily the right angle because it's not inexpensive. You know, typically it costs anywhere between 3-5% of someone's gross income. But you can scare somebody away by just selling them the max that they could get when there really isn't a need for the max. And like you said, if you have the inflation on there, whether it's for buy up during their healthy years or the cost of living that kicks in after they're on disability, you know, that can typically help absorb any future needs that as their income goes up, their need goes up.
For sure.
And I guess the, you know, one big question too is when you have clients that have group disability through work, you know, how do you address that? And do you talk about the potential gap of coverage they might have with that group insurance?
Yeah, absolutely. We do. When we run our projections, again, we program the existing policies that they have. Most of our clients just have group disability policies. And the main things that we look for are cost of living adjustments to the policies, because very few employers include that,
right.
That type of policy. We try to see if there's any future increased riders included. Whether the other thing that we look at is whether the policy is an own occupation or an any occupation policy. Typically, group policies, generally, they allow 2 years or 24 months of you being unable to perform your own occupation before they get reevaluated, right, and turn into an any occupation policy. We also look at how long the benefit term is, because I've seen some group policies that only pay out for 5 years. That's not long term, at least not in my eyes.
Right.
And I think the last thing, you know, that we really look at when it comes to potential gaps is really how does this interact with pensions, with disability benefits for Social Security as well.
Okay. Well, and then another key point on group disability is if it's employer paid, it very could well be, and the most times it is, a taxable benefit to that employee. So they might, and it's capped, right? So they might get 60% of their gross income, but it's going to be capped at a certain amount.
Exactly.
And if you have individuals that earn most of their income is commission-based or bonus-based, and that group might not even cover that. So there is definitely real concerns to make sure that the clients understand exactly how their group coverage works. I had to have that conversation with my own sister, and she was just like shocked of how little coverage she had. So it's great that you're addressing that group coverage and making sure you're doing a proper evaluation with that as well. Well, it's been great, Angel. I love the way that you all do your analysis. I love that you include disability as a part of that retirement planning. We really appreciate you joining this episode of our podcast. Anything you want to add or any thoughts that you have before we close out this afternoon?
I mean, just for your listeners, I mean, if you have a long time left in your careers, looking closely at what's offered to you by your employer, that's important. You know, if the additional cost of a policy scares you or worries you, I think there's really only one way to find out how much it costs to supplement coverage, and that's reaching out to you guys and finding out, right?
Well, great. Great. Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, again, for being on with us today. Again, connect with us at dplfp.com and subscribe for more episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. To hear more advisor revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.